T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time to get your day started right here with Dusty and Cam on Today in the Fan. We'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty and Cam. Just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee. It's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the Fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
You gotta see it!
Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
Let's go, babe. Come on. Let's have some fun, man.
Good morning, happy Friday to you, Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. How you doing there, big fella?
It doesn't matter how I'm doing, it's how you doing.
Oh,
it's a good day to be an Astro and a Patriot fan, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I mean, God, what a rough life we live when you just wake up and have your both teams win.
God,
professionally.
What a great day to be alive.
What do you do?
Hey, what about the trifecta?
What do you do?
Hey, the Blazers... They had a dominating win over Maccabi Haifa.
Where is Maccabi Haifa?
Israel.
Oh, it's an Israeli team.
Yeah, but they have two names on that team that I said, hey, I remember him.
Yeah, you don't remember him because you haven't read him.
Norris Cole.
Nope.
Brandon Rush.
Nope.
Norris Cole had that high top fade.
Yeah, Cleveland State. I remember him from the NCAA tournament because of the high top fade.
Great flat top.
And then isn't he the guy that LeBron wanted the Miami Heat to draft? So they did?
Yes.
And then he left.
Mm-hmm.
So Norris Cole?
So there's that.
And then Brandon Rush, Missouri guy, right? Kansas guy. Ooh, wow.
You're asking questions I don't have answers to, but okay. Former Warrior.
Yeah.
So two guys that I went, hey, I know those guys. And then after that, I'm like, no idea.
Also, didn't David Blatt, the former Cavs coach, either coach there before or after his time with the Cavs?
And then
Are they doing it over here, just doing a tour? Is that what they're doing, playing a few other NBA teams?
Yeah, and I think
they found a third. They got Roman Sorkin on the team.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's a,
related
kind of
to Aaron Sorkin?
Duck are you?
Uh-huh.
Former Oregon Duck.
Oh. Oh,
Roman
you
Sorkin.
Got called out.
Who? Again, who?
Yeah.
These guys are important. Look, they're pro athletes. We need to know this. We need to start studying up.
Yeah, and then a bunch of guys I don't know. I don't know any of them. He is not related to Aaron Sorkin, I don't believe. But I don't know. We're playing a little loose with the facts after the Utah the Utah Know Your Foe yesterday.
Yeah, I might have missed an important qualifier.
Yeah,
same year.
Right. Don't worry about
it. Same year.
Don't worry about that. All right. But yeah, no, it was a great night for me personally. It was hard. I know. I appreciate your thoughts and prayers, everybody out there, for having to flip between the ALDS Game 5 between the Astros and Rays.
Just don't you have an iPad or a computer?
The Patriots and Giants game.
Let's have a computer open.
But thank you to the Tampa Rays for having 9 pitching changes. That gave me the ability to actually watch most of the Patriots and Giants game because, oh my gosh, so many pitching changes for them. You just were able to flip over every couple of minutes.
There you go.
And so was able to do it. Get it done. Garrett Cole.
He's good pitching.
Very good pitcher. I tweeted out, and I believe he should win the Heisman Trophy for it because he should just give him all of the awards.
So he gets the Heisman, the league MVP.
Yeah, Cy Young.
Gets it all.
Yeah, we'll give him the Biletnikoff award too. Just go ahead and do that. But the Astros win Game 5 of the ALDS. They're going to Yankees-Astros, we get that matchup. We also talked about this, and we haven't mentioned it yet. Remember when it was just like, the who will the Dodgers play in the World Series this year?
Yeah.
Anybody we didn't make it that far.
Dodgers fans, Dodger fans.
I mean, earlier in the year, I thought that Cam might have been a little bit harsh on Dave Roberts and the way that he managed, but goodness, he did it again.
Yeah, no, he's going to do it. I mean,
he
did
it again.
Not going to have, both analytic teams gone. Gone. See you later. Bye-bye. And don't tell me that your Astros teams are analytics anymore. They don't. They just hit the crap out of the baseball.
What are you talking about?
I just said it. Here.
It's their entire, there's a book. Oh, Christ. There's an entire book.
Here we go again. Let's start the chant of analytic baseball. That's what wins. No, you just hit the crap out of the ball. The Dodgers did not hit the crap out of the ball. They sucked at the plate. This team, Houston, hit the crap out of the baseball. That's not analytics. That's just, they're better. The analytic of hitting the crap out of the ball. Here, let me
show
you. You
should probably read the book.
Do that.
Astro Ball.
Yeah, let's read it.
Why are you so upset this morning? What is wrong with you?
I forgot what day it was.
Because I love how upset you get with analytics.
No, I do. I love analytics. I think they're brilliant, but they are a fraction of what it takes to play sports. I do. Well, they're fractions. They're fractions. But no, in today's world, they need to be. Everyone's want to put them up as almost more important than the actual players. It's insane. Oh, yes. You should listen to some of these jack wagons. How they'll sit there and say, the shift and all, then this is the proper spot where we have to pitch. Sometimes you just have to be a dude. No, Dave Roberts lost his entire. That entire series because of his analytical takes and exactly what they did to that Dodgers team.
And because Clayton Kershaw isn't a dude, though.
He is a dude. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher. He just happens to get put in situations where he continually falls on his face in the playoffs. That has nothing. That's just part of it.
Don't dudes step up in that situation like Madison Bumgarner, who in take Blake Snell's a great example of this. He did great out of the bullpen for the Rays.
What do you mean? You would take? Being I would take Clayton Kershaw helps. all day to be part of my team. He just happens to be in a situation where couldn't get it done in the playoffs. Doesn't make him a bad guy or a bad pitcher. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher.
Well, no, and that's what I'm saying is that
there's a lot of Hall of Fame pitchers that have never
getting
even been
it
there.
Done in the playoffs is like that it factor, that being a dude that you can rely on and you can trust in clutch situations.
Well, even at the highest level in the world, this might be a newsflash to you that there still are one percenters, even in the one percenters.
No, yeah. And that's
why it's really cool to see. And I give credit to your team because that's a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
There's nothing analytical anymore about watching that team. They have high talent. They have great pitching. And they just get it done under pressure. And that's kind of like, watching all these great teams play is that when we finally get to the bottom, or where all that cream rises up here, that's not the bottom, cream rises to the top. We finally get to see the teams that have the dudes.
You know what's it's really interesting about what the Astros did when they were doing that shortcut through hell is that they brought all of those guys up. And this is a big part of like being that dude factor that you're talking. We said dude a lot here, but they said when they were bringing all those guys up, they wanted them to learn how to win together. Right? Everybody wants your young stars to go into the major leagues and be there early and, you know, see what they got on the big league stage. They went with the approach of we want them to win together at every level.
Yeah.
Single A, double A, triple A. And then once we build a winning culture, then we're going to bring them up and we're really going to go after this thing and make a run at it. And that's a big part of this, knowing how to win in those situations. Yeah. Big moments, big stage, and kind of a stair step into that limelight.
If anybody doesn't think that Clayton Kershaw is a Hall of Famer, then I guess that means Felix Hernandez isn't a Hall of Famer either.
Are there people that say he's not?
No, I mean, there's fractions or factions. Even Dodger fans. See the Dodger fans running over Kershaw's jersey and then the guy that charged down and threw the jersey onto the field. I think you probably spent $150 on that jersey.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. That's a pretty dumb move of him.
Guys being dudes.
That's right, Coach.
Was
Adazio.
That picture of Clayton Kershaw one of the saddest things you've ever seen? I don't care how much money you were making. Did you have not? And was there any point in time you looked at that picture and went, I feel bad for this guy? And I know you, Buck, you didn't feel bad for him whatsoever, but there was a small amount of you went, you know what? There was a small. Can we give these? 1%
of the things
of
that I hate most about Clayton Kershaw is that he is on my team's rival, and he's so likable.
He's so likable.
I wish he weren't so likable, so I find ways to like it when he's not very good.
You're just digging. I love that troll of you. That's good.
Have
you
know, to.
The thing that's sad about Clayton Kershaw, though, is that he's sitting there and he's taking all of this pressure about what is going on, and he's like sitting there taking it like he's wasting the talent. Like I don't know what the exact quote is, but he said that it was it's a situation where he feels like he's letting the talent that like his God's gift fail him in the playoffs.
I don't believe that.
That sucks.
Yeah, and I've never.
I'm looking for
that.
the exact quote, but you sit there and you went, whoa.
You mean to tell me that a guy that went from being a small kid dreaming of playing in the majors suddenly he's got to pitch in World Series and he's got to pitch in playoffs and make some money and a living playing a game that he loved as a child is supposed to be saying that he's a failure just because he hasn't been able to win the pinnacle or win the best?
Yeah,
there's only a small faction of that. That's the hard part of being an athlete is you never think you're one of the best ever. I mean, you're already there. Yeah, would you like to win? I mean, David Price felt the same way until he joined the Red Sox and able to got over the hump. But this happens to every athlete.
Yeah, I know. That pretty much sucks, dude.
And that's not an analytic. That's emotion.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what Dave Roberts said after the game. Mm-hmm. He said, Clayton is not about analytics. It's about he's one of the best pitchers in the game. And for him to go out there, throw four pitchers, and then go back out there and get two hitters, I felt really good about it. So it's more of, I don't think it's an analytic question. It's a guy that I believe in and I trust, and it didn't work out.
Well,
dude,
Dave Roberts still has a job.
Yeah, he is. He's going to be back.
Yeah.
How about that? We're still talking about the Dodgers.
He might be back.
Well, we're talking about baseball because baseball.
Did they say that he's back?
They said he's going to be back yesterday.
I don't know about you.
He'll return.
The World Series is this ALCS. I mean, I just kind of feel like it. I feel like the World Series is the ALCS.
Yeah.
It's
Astros Yankees has it all, man.
Cam, are we Yankees fans for the next week or so?
I do want to stay, and I will most definitely be on the Yankees bandwagon because I can't sit here and be a Houston guy. Bet. Just out of because he's already a Houston guy. So yes, I need to be a Yankees fan, and I will be a Yankees fan. Buck, what would you like
Dusty
to be?
Looks dumbfounded.
He's
right
not
now.
Dumbfounded.
I'm not dumbfounded. I'm hurt.
Why would you want someone to be a jump on your bandwagon?
It's not my bandwagon. It's supporting me as a person, Cameron.
No, I'm not supporting you as a person. I refuse to do that.
All right, Buck.
If we should become Yankees fans.
Okay, Buck, what are you going
to
do?
Buck, get on the right train, and you know the right train to be on.
I mean, I did predict that neither the Astros or the Dodgers would win the World Series because everyone's been saying one of them would. So I feel like I have to go with the Yankees just because that's what my prediction was.
I feel like Mike Lynch is doing a happy dance in his sleep right now.
All right. Thank you, Texan. Better you today, Texan. 55305. It's okay, Dusty. There's plenty of us Astros haters out or Yankees haters out there that'll root for anybody but them, and we'll gladly root for your Astros. Thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
I can respect the Astros, can I? Am I allowed to do that? I can respect them and appreciate them.
I just hope
not
everyone
anymore.
Has fun.
Oh. I didn't know there was criteria.
This is a bridge too far.
I just hope they all have fun.
I just hope both teams have fun. Yep. That's it.
Wow. Millennial parent.
Huh?
Let's all right. Just have fun.
Okay. I need to compose myself.
Relax. You should have had a great night last night.
I did have a great night last night because
Did you get a little nervous? You're only up 7 in the fourth quarter. I'm you and we-ing it up today.
That was a weird, ugly.
It was Thursday night football.
But dominating final score last night in Thursday night football. Let's start there, shall we?
Larry Izzo's son playing for the Patriots. God, I'm old.
You
Larry.
Are very old. How did,
gosh, I remember that little tyke. Anyway, go ahead.
And giving up sacks.
His wife's awesome. She's so much fun.
Larry Izzo's kid or Larry Izzo's wife?
Larry Izzo's wife.
Okay. Let's talk about Thursday night football.
But his kid plays tight end for the Patriots. And where's my number?
Or did you wear his?
Yeah, I only wore it for a year. I don't get to claim anything.
All right. It is 6-16 on the fan. If you were to look at the final score, you'd probably sit there and say, oh, well, the Patriots just kind of cruised to a 35-14 win over the New York Giants yesterday. And then if you were to read the stat line, you go, oh, Brady threw for 334 yards on 31 of 41 passing. Yeah, Pats just kind of dominated that game. Boy, it couldn't have been any different because the New York Giants, they didn't just put up a fight, man. They gave the Patriots everything they could handle last night in Thursday Night Football.
They covered.
Oh, was it 22 points?
No, I thought it was 17-point spread. Well, was it 17?
They won by 21.
No, I know.
The Patriots covered.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Patriots ended up covering the game, and Daniel Jones held to only 161 yards passing. The Patriots picked him off three times. But it's an odd thing because it's the Patriots' offense that is struggling to get going early in this season. Now, they're 6-0. But they opened up the scoring early with the 7-0 lead, but that was because they blocked a punt and returned it for a touchdown.
Well, they didn't block a punt. The Giants' personal protector got blocked back into it and actually hit off his shoulder pad.
Well,
so I thought that he just didn't step up and block well enough. I mean, that was the way I looked at it. Personal protector gave too much ground on the block and just backed up too far into the punter.
Right. Well, and either way, the punt went into the back of the Giants, and then they was scoop and score for the Patriots, and they got a 7-0 lead. And then it was tough sledding to get anything going after that, because if you look at the way the Patriots scored the rest of the night, Tom Brady had two touchdown rushes. Brandon Bolden had a touchdown rush. He didn't even throw for a touchdown in the game.
You missed the biggest stat of the night, though. What's Thomas that? Edward Brady is now past Peyton Manning as the number two passer all time yardage.
Don't we just kind of expect that?
But he's 2,400 yards behind Drew Brees.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, wait, what?
I think he's like 2,400 yards behind Drew Brees.
I don't think it's number one. 2,400.
It's like 2,300, something like that.
Because I thought he was on pace to catch him before Brees got back from his injury. I don't know how many it is, but
it's around 23 or 2,400, somewhere around there.
Well, he's trying to track him down, and he's now number two all time. But this defense that New England has, it has not played very good teams, and that should be noted. Very good offensive teams. The Steelers, Dolphins, Jets, Bills, Redskins, and now the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing something that may be wrong with the Patriots' offense, though, as to why they're not able to get scoring going early in the games, and why the offense isn't clicking necessarily as well as we think it should be?
No, I think the reason was pretty simple last night. If you watched it, you kind of just, and if you heard Coach Belichick and talk about it in the post game, you knew exactly what Josh McDaniels had a serious issue. So they had a couple injuries that not only changed the game plan, it took them out of three different personnels. They were down to one personnel grouping on offense in the whole second half. So what does that mean? That means you don't have a second tight end. That means you aren't able to have your second running back group. And so if you have, there's lots of different personnel groups in the NFL. There's lots of different, and just in football, you have 10 personnel, one back, zero wide receivers. You have 11 personnel, which is a tight end, one back. You have 21, you have 12 personnel, which is one back, two tight ends, 21. There's all sorts of different types of personnel groupings. You can have three tight ends. At this point, when you're down to one tight end group, one personnel group for your offense, that means three quarters of your play sheet is gone. So that changes your protections, changes your route trees, and it changes your entire running game. And that's why you saw they had to play really good defense, which they did, excellent defense, versus a depleted New York Giants football team, which you have to give them credit. Their pass rush was good. They had nobody. They had Golden Tate. Going into that game, that's all they had. And Golden Tate made a great play. Well, how long was that play? Like 65 yards? His touchdown?
64 yards.
That was the touchdown. Biggest play of the game.
Yeah.
Both sides.
And then you have
offensively.
When you're talking about the Patriots offense, though, one thing that keeps popping up in the Tom Brady, if you go and you look at it, so blocked punt for a touchdown, Kyle Van Noy with the scoop and score touchdown. Mm-hmm. Okay, you get a defensive and a special teams touchdown, and the score's 35-14.
Yep.
New England did not throw for a touchdown, and they rushed for three. That's a 21-14 game. It was a very tightly played game.
That's a typical Thursday game.
Yep.
I mean, if you would have said that this Thursday game was going to come down to mistakes, special teams, and a couple of turnovers, I would have said, yep, I believe that. It's a late game. The guys are tired. It's Thursday. Everybody's banged up. It's that early switch over from the first quarter of the season, heading into the second quarter into October. You could have called it. Not every game is going to look like what we saw last week with Seattle and LA. Just not going to get that kind of return all the time.
One thing that you meant, especially as the season goes on, later and later in the year, they're going to get more and more banged up, and the nicks and bumps and bruises keep adding up. One thing that you mentioned before we went to break is that Larry Ezo's kid, Ryan, is a tight end for the Patriots. Part of him getting significant run was the fact that the injuries that you mentioned earlier in this segment. This was a common theme I saw on social media last night, and I had the same question about it in my head. Was Tom Brady was hit, and it was a strip sack fumble. And Izzo is the guy on the outside, one-on-one with one of the guys who you said, great pass rush by the New York Giants. Why is it that we continually see NFL teams putting tight ends one-on-one with an elite pass rusher? Doesn't that seem like that because schematically is not a good idea?
No, it has to be that, because you would rather have one-on-one with a tight end than one-on-one with a back. I mean, in schemes and pass protections, there's multiple different kinds of pass protection schemes. You have slide protections where you slide the offensive line and the back always fits off the edge. Well, if you're going to slide the offensive line, say, with a load call, so you're going to load left and you're going to slide, well, that means that the back fills off the right side in that gap. Who's he going to end up being on? Obviously, the best pass rusher is going to be an edge pass rusher. So if you're going to max protect, or if you're going to keep the back on the inside, which typically good protections make the backs adjust by blocking linebackers through the inside, because then you have linemen on the edges on both sides that can end up helping you. And then you can step up. There's some backs that were great at it. They have to fill like it's an ISO block. You put a tight end on the edge. Look, I had to do this multiple times. I had to block Reggie White. I had to block Javon Kearse. I had to block guys like Kevin Green at the end of his career. Still mutant pass rushers. Michael Strahan. I was one-on-one Michael Strahan. These guys are big-time pass rushers. But here's the deal. If I get them a little bit early, just a little bit, because I'm within a yard of them and I can just change their gait a little bit, that helps the ball get out faster. But if I'm a back and I'm at distance and I give him a four-yard run at me, I don't like that. I really. So that would be the only thing I could see, is that maybe they're worried about the inside pass rush a little bit. Yes. Optimally, you want your tackles on those pass rushers, but sometimes it doesn't work out.
Yeah, and it was like, it's that help that you're talking about, though, where like it just seems like they're putting them on an island, and that these guys are being bred to be just bulldogs on the outside.
And it's not just pass blocking. You're asking guys like Izzo to down block, where he's outweighed by 30 pounds and probably 400 pounds of squat strength, trying to have these guys try to crack block or reach block them. It's just not, you're like, that's not gonna happen.
How much you squat, bro?
It's just not gonna happen.
Yeah. I always have said
in high school, a win is about a yard downfield. In college, it's a half a yard. And you've heard, I think the drop is in our, it's a win is 6 inches. A win is 6 inches. That's how much a win is in the NFL when you're talking about pass blocking, or I'm talking about run blocking.
So she said,
one 6-inch step on the other side of their line of scrimmage, that is a win.
Well, Tom Brady, best rushing quarterback of all time, 1,000 yards, 2 touchdowns yesterday. Patriots get a 35-14 win over the New York Giants, and my big takeaway out of that is has nothing to do with the Patriots. The Giants could be pretty good when when they get healthy.
Yeah.
They could be pretty dang good.
I like Daniel Jones. He just needs to protect the football. He's young.
Yeah.
Can't do those kind of things like throwing the ball to the other team
thrice times.
Yeah, that's not good.
But he's, you know what he's not doing as a young quarterback, though, which Brady was sacked 3 times. Mm-hmm. He took 1 sack for 0 yards. He's getting rid of the ball and being very smart about it, too.
I kind of like knowing
the limitations of he and the offense have.
He's definitely more athletic, and he looks like he's just got a little bit more moxie out there than Eli. Eli would have taken like 15 sacks last night.
Fact. All right, 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Football Q&A. Do it every single Friday at this time. You got football questions. We got football answers. After Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Yep.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come out to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us on the Better You Today text line at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Dusty Air Camp Leland with you. It is Football Friday.
Sports Q&A. What does Q&A stand for?
Question.
Well, we might have an answer. Yeah. But I love questions.
We'll give you an answer. So send them to us.
I like it.
On the Better You Today text line.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you might not like going 0-2 this weekend. Oh!
You are being very unfair.
I'm not being unfair.
To our Chiefs fans out there. Hey, this
two of them.
This one came out earlier. It's not football related, but it is a Q&A of notes. It says Cam would be a perfect Yankee fan because it's basically just the Mariners farm system, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I went and I looked up the remaining teams who have Mariners on them, and Cardinals have none. So you can rule the Cardinals out.
Well, the Tampa Bay felt like it was all Mariners.
Yeah, well, yeah, they had old Emilio who blew it last night for them. Then they had Mike Zunino. And who else did they have on there?
They had Justin Smoke. But that, no, I'm not. I don't think that was Toronto. That's Toronto. Sorry.
Oh, boy. That one had my heart pounded. Remember Justin Smoke?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
And then who was Dustin Ackley? Mm-hmm. Remember Dustin Ackley,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, Beardsy.
Jeez. But they're gone. No Cardinals. The Nationals have Fernando Rodney.
Yeah, they do.
And they got Strickland. And then the New York Yankees, Wade Miley pitches for the Astros, if you didn't know. And then the Yankees. They do. They have four former Mariners.
I know they do.
They have James Paxton, mm-hmm. Cameron Maben, Edwin Encarnacion, if we want to count him.
Yeah, that's fair. He started the season as a Mariner.
And then Jay Happ. I mean, they got four former Mariners.
I mean, the Mariners are the Major League Baseball's farm system. Yeah, everybody else, just pick them off.
Oh, boy. All right. Danbo, will Colorado keep it close to Oregon today? 55305.
Has Oregon run away from anybody yet that's been a D1 team? That's the question. Have they run away? When I mean run away, in college football, we're talking, what's a blowout in college football? 28 points. 21 points to 28 points. That's move the needle blowout. They haven't ran away from anyone yet. So I think Colorado does keep it within. If we're talking the number, when I say run away, I'd say blowout. Blowout is 28 points. I think they keep it within 20. Of course, what is the line? 21.5? Is
21.
It yeah, so it's...
I'd put that at around like 20. Yeah, a blowout. No, and to your point, no. But they've been in control. I mean, they were in control of that game at Stanford. At any point, did you think Stanford was going to win that game down on the farm?
No.
But they were in control of it.
Yeah.
And that's it. Now, they weren't in control for a lot of that Cal game. The first half, the offense was just kind of sputtering and out of control.
But that's what this conference has given us all season. It's given us tough, difficult games where nobody can sit there and tell you they feel confident week in and week out that they're going to run the table.
You know, the big question that I have coming out of this one is LaVisca Chenault going to play? That's a huge question mark.
Game time decision, right?
Right
is
there.
That what it is?
Yeah, he's a game time decision. And then their second leading receiver, or their second, I don't want to call him the second leading receiver because he isn't statistically, but their other big play receiver, Katie Nixon, is also a game time decision. That could be a huge impact on this game. But also, how bad truly is Colorado's pass defense? I mean, they gave up 404 yards to whatever it is, Arizona last week. They gave up 180 yards to Air Force through the air, for goodness sakes. And that actually is a big number for Air Force. Everybody out there will be like, what? That's a big number for Air Force. Mm-hmm. Their pass defense has been porous. Can Justin Herbert and the Ducks, you know, make them pay for it? I think they can. If they get the ball to Micah Pittman, if they use the weapons that are at their disposal finally. Yeah. And last week, they looked uncomfortable with them. and they didn't look quite ready
to
use them.
It's a big line. I mean, 21 points is a big line on this. I would be surprised if Oregon puts up a 28 spot on them and beats them by this. And I think 21 probably is
Colorado plays everybody close. Yeah. That's also something you got to look at.
But you're at Autzen. You're on the road. It's a Friday night game. You should have a lot extra juice when it comes to what the Ducks are going to bring. Steven Montez is an experienced quarterback. This is not a guy that's coming into this game that hasn't played not only in big games, but he's performed well against the Ducks before. So this is
He's been huge against Oregon.
Yeah. So Yeah, if they do beat him by 21 points, I say that is a big surprise. And I think that this would be an Oregon answer to say that we're here. Our offense is ready to go. You'd like to see that. Really would like to see it tonight.
Their last four games, Nebraska won by 3. Air Force lost by 7. Arizona State won by 3. Arizona lost by 5.
Why do you think
they play everybody close?
Yeah, why do you think that is the line is 21 points?
Because of the fact that those teams, with the exception of Arizona State, which is a little bit confusing and should be scary to, you know, Duck fans, Arizona State's got a really good defense. Mm. The other teams don't, and I think people are starting to buy into Oregon's defense
I hope they do.
A short week. Well, yeah. We finally played the audio of Kirk Herbstreit and Kevin Nagandy earlier in the week on ESPN's College Football Podcast, where they finally mentioned Oregon's defense is the one carrying this team, not Justin Herbert in the offense.
It will the rest of the season. I do believe it.
It should.
Yeah.
And then the fact that you sit there and you look at the Colorado offense, how tested have they been? Their star player is banged up and little injured with LaVisca Chenault. Mm-hmm. I think that may play into a 21-point spread that we have right now. 55305. That is the better you. Today, text line. Football Q&A. More of your questions next on The Fan. All right, Q&A, do it every Friday. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Text us, 55305. Here's a good question. Are the Raiders for real, or were they just angry enough to beat the Bears? I cannot put my finger on the Oakland Raiders. Do you know if they're good or not?
I think when you play the schedule in front of you and you go on the road, you beat Indianapolis on the road, you go across the country, across the pond, and you beat a unbelievable pass rush, and you win a game in London. Yeah, you're for real. If you win football games, why do you have to pretend if you're real or not? Those are legitimately very difficult. It's not like they were sitting on the baseball field grinding out against Miami and Tampa, or Miami or the Jets. They won some very good football games, and whoever questioned that Mike Gruden could not... Mike Gruden. I'm having a tough day with words.
I don't know who Mike Gruden is.
John Gruden.
Right.
Could not coach football. The fear, you think, when you're out of the game for 10 years, and the fear of that the game has passed you by, Chip Kelly, and that you don't stay up with what today's game offers, the way athletes, the way you practice, the way you look at it, the way you can change, and that's why the style of what John Gruden has always been able to coach. Man, the man lived in a cave, and he was in television, but he never lost the ability to adjust and understand how to play good football.
But here's why I just can't put my finger on how good they are or what they are.
Well, they're an 8-8, 9-7 team. I mean, that's a good football team.
Is because, like you mentioned, they play the games that are in front of you, the teams that are in front of you, right? Two of their scoring drives were under 25 yards against Chicago.
Yeah.
Right? But then they had two scoring drives, 97 for the game winner.
Sure.
And then 90 yards is their first one. Like, you sit there and you're like, okay. But in between those drives, it was like a whole lot of bleh.
But that was what the Patriots were last night. The Patriots were a whole lot of bleh, but they played good defense.
That's exactly what I said in the very beginning of it. It's like, I'm not quite sure what's going on. The Patriots offense obviously is not the same. Their defense looks really good, but they haven't played great offenses.
I know what's going on.
And Chicago has Mitchell Trubisky out and Chase Daniel is the quarterback, you know? Like, and that's where you go, okay. But then they won at Indy on the road, which is that's a great win. That's a great win. You had two road wins, essentially. And those are good to have.
It's called veteran experience.
Yeah.
It's called guys that have been in that war before and understand it.
55305. The better you today text line. Bum. Okay. If Washington goes down to Arizona tomorrow and then Oregon goes up and beats them next week, what's the future of Chris Peterson? That from P1 Farley.
I think he'll coach for the next 10 years. He'll coach as Washington as long as he wants. Because you're really, at this point in time in the Pac-12, you're not going to find better coaching that's going to be willing to take on a program like that. You're not. You're not going to find. I mean, Chris Peterson has two Pac-12 championships, and he's got three BCS game or BCS. He's got three Power Five. God, man, I think I drank too much last night. No, I didn't. I didn't have anything. I just more
it's
sleep.
It's okay if you did.
But he's got New Year's Six games. There's the word I'm looking for. He's got a college football playoff experience. I mean, you're going to have down years in football, especially in this conference. You're recruiting classes. When you go from having nine starters gone, you got 55 guys that are redshirt freshmen or under. You got, I mean, that's this. Welcome to this conference. Not everybody can just be on top. You don't get to reload with five stars every single year like other teams do. So you're going to have down years. It's just part of being it. I mean, I spent 5 years of my career and never got over eight wins, nine wins.
There will be nothing changing with Chris Peterson. It is a football is a cyclical thing, and it is very hard to stay on top for as long as Clemson and Alabama have done. Yeah. Like, that is an anomaly. The norm is you will have a run, you will backslide for a year or two. If you're a great program, if you are a great program, you'll backslide for a year or two, and then you'll get back to where you were.
Well, yeah, you think you can win the Pac-12 every single season, or do you think you're going to win the North every single year? Yeah, none of the fans there have high expectations. So do the coaches, and so do the players.
Yeah.
They all want to win.
55305, the better you today text line. Let's see, your kickoffs in the NFL. What's the point? I'm tired of watching, hoping for an exciting return, only to see a ball land in the back by a cameraman. Opening kickoff and second half are fine. Other than that, just start at the 20. Thoughts? P1 Craig. Eliminate the kickoff.
No. I think, no. I'll immediately call it a carpet that the state of Oregon has just already kicked special teams out for JV and freshmen. I think it's a joke of what you've done to football because you don't want to coach it, you don't think it's safe. No, the kickoff is extremely important.
Explain that to people that don't know what you're talking about.
So the state of Oregon has eliminated all special teams for JV football and freshman football.
Well, they have the option not to kick off. You have the option
punt,
to.
And punt.
Yeah, you have an option to just put the ball at the 35?
The 35, yes. Special teams, as you saw last night, in NFL football, pretty important.
Yeah,
and it can be a game changer. There's nothing more devastating than when you give up a special teams touchdown or you get an onside kick. You can flip games so quickly. Who's the high school coach that has never punted? You know,
he's in Arkansas,
and he's always onside every kick because he's like, look. If we just kick it right down here, so they'll get the ball in the 40. We'll just lean on our defense, and then we're always going to go for it. We're never going to punt. Okay, that's their decision. But special teams, there's a place for it. There's always something. There's nothing more exciting than having that opening kickoff and hearing Ozzy Osbourne or something and just the nostalgia of football. But you still need that. You can make it safer. They've eliminated the wedge. They've eliminated some other things. You guys have to put your hand down. You can't start. Always going to be valuable in football.
Yeah.
Field position.
Ooh, Keith in the garbage truck. Are college players aware of the point spread? Be honest.
Yeah. I mean, for me, when I was a player, I never thought about it. I don't know if kids are now today.
I know they are now.
They might be.
Well, they are because it's more. Like, when you were college, you had to go into the newspaper and
look.
You had
to open up USA Today.
And it was in a special section of the paper, too. Yeah. It wasn't like...
You had to call your bookie and put it in your black book.
Right.
And, okay, 7 point, okay.
It's on Twitter. It's everywhere right now.
It's on the bottom line ticker on ESPN.
No doubt. It's on ESPN when you go to check the score, the game time and the scores. It's like, hey, Oregon, favored by 17.
You'd have to ask a college athlete to see if they are. I don't know if all of them are. They're really aware on Twitter. Like they're big time social media guys.
Know.
If you asked a kid minus 17, I bet some of them wouldn't even know what that means when you say covers. Like cover.
But they would know that. Hey, you're favored by 17.
Yeah, they would understand that.
I got that. Which did you see the Purdue rule?
No.
No. Yes. We have got to talk about the Purdue rule. We'll get to the Purdue rule coming up next. Next hour, we also have got Joel Klatt. We will go off the rails, discuss the Pac-12 weekend in football. Our weekend, would you rather, at the top of the 8 a.m. hour. Keep your football Q&A questions coming in as well. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Hot and cool and hot Purdue talk next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.